my kids will dismiss to classes. The rest of us, we're going to be in Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy. Now, we need to be sure to pray for Brother Chad. He is in Washington. And with Miss Chelsea and the kids and visiting family there. So let's be sure to pray for their trip home tomorrow. I'm not sure when their flight comes in, but I'm pretty sure tomorrow's the day. Pray that the snow stays away. Remember last year? They got trapped in Washington for like another week or something. So keep your prayers going for that. Deuteronomy 11. Don't stand, just turn there. We'll read. Okay. Let's begin reading in verse 18. Our text is 26 to 32, but we'll begin reading in verse 18. Deuteronomy 11. The Bible says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Verse 19 seems clear that a big part of what we do at home for our children is to make the scriptures a constant form of our communication with our children and with those in our family. It needs to be a meditation of our heart. Verse 20, "And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Every place whereon the sole of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the utmost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you." Verse 26. This is our text all the way to the end of the chapter. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the campaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh?" Verse 31. "For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day." Father, I pray your blessings, please, on the message, on the lesson. Guide us, Lord, as we need to hear from you. So I pray for your touch. Thank you again for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A blessing about what God is doing in Deuteronomy is God is directing Israel into the promised land. And that's a blessing for us because it reminds us that God wants that for us. He desires us to have the blessings of the promised land. Verse 22, look what it says. "For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and cleave to them. Verse 23, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. So God says to his children, I want to bless you. I want you to have blessings in your life. And God wants that for us. He wants us to be blessed. You know, there's a kind of joy associated with living for God, or at least there should be. And he wants us to have that. And what's related to that is our obedience to him. You know, I say that to my kids. And I know it, we say it almost in a tongue-in-cheek way sometimes when I'm doing a message. And I don't mean it in a tongue-in-cheek way, but I talk about my children so often. But I deeply want them to be blessed. And here's what I understand about just the parent-child relationship. As I desire to be the parent God wants me to be, and so I put rules and restrictions and guidelines. And with that, I just desire that my children would obey those rules and follow the guidelines. And life is so much better for them when they do. Isn't that right? And isn't life so much more difficult for our children when they won't do what they're supposed to do? And they're fighting against the instructions and the guidelines that we put down in their life. They fight against it. It makes life harder for them. Those are life lessons between us and God, because it's really the same. But maybe infinitely more, in the sense that God knows our future and how what we do today affects our future. As parents, we put restrictions down, and our desire is that our children will turn out for the Lord or will make wise choices. But honestly, as parents, we do our part, but we don't know, do we? You know, I think about some of you have kids about to graduate or getting closer, inching closer to that every year. What do you want, Mom? What do you want? I guess there's only one of, there's several moms in here, but what is it that you desire for your children when they get to that place? They're graduating and they're making choices that'll affect the rest of their life. This is a very important transition time for your children. And as a parent, you desire to put them in a place to make wise choices. You desire that. But you don't know. You don't know how their choices will affect the rest of their life. Do you know who does? God does. And so we desire them to obey us as parents, but how much more important it is that they learn to obey God and learn to trust Him. And I want you to learn to trust God with your life and decisions. Why? Because I know that God will bless you. Blessings come from Him. We've talked about that. We need to not forget that blessings come from God. And He desires to bless us. It's always His desire. Maybe you have experienced some things recently, or even maybe you're going through some things now, and you wonder, it causes you to wonder or to question God's desire to bless you, to question His goodness. But I'm here to tell you, on the authority of the Scriptures, and the testimony that has been laid down historically, not only in the Bible, when we read about people who obeyed God and He blessed them, and they obeyed God and He blessed them, all through the history of those that we read about in the Bible, but in my own life, when I obeyed God and I trusted Him, and His blessings poured out on my life and on my family. You know, I'm not any different or better than any other person here. There's no person who's better than anybody else. The difference between blessings and curses is obedience. That's it. It's not favor. It's like, well, you know, you're my favorite, so I'll bless you. It doesn't work that way with God. God puts favor on anybody who believe in Him and trust Him and desire, you know what, I believe God. If the whole world rejects Him, I believe Him. And I'm going to obey Him. And then the blessings will pour out. And that's what we see in our passage here. Look at verse 26. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. And it's just that simple. A blessing, 27, if you obey the commandments with the Lord, which I command you this day. 28, a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. So the difference between blessings and curse is obedience or disobedience. So it's like God says it this way, blessings will come in your life, and blessings are relative to your obedience, and curses will come into your life, and curses are relative to your obedience or disobedience. So what you choose, the action that you choose based on what God's doing in your heart, will determine a blessing or a curse in your life. I desire to see people surrendered, and as a matter of fact, I've heard people surrender verbally a lot through the years. I've ministered, I've taught the word, I've preached the word, and there have been through the years many who have come to me and they've said, well, I'm surrendering to God, and then they would say what, or perhaps what that would look like in their life. They would say that. And I've began to say it this way in my counseling, that is, when I'm sitting across from somebody who has told me that they're surrendered to God or they're surrendering to God, I would say this. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you, genuinely. I'm happy for you. Because the future is bright when you're surrendered to God. But here's how we're going to know. I'll see you in 6 months. I'll see you in 8 months. I'll see you next year. If you're still this excited and on fire in 6 months or 8 months or a year, then what ends up happening is your actions have shown the surrender of your heart and not just your words. Because words don't really have any meaning if actions don't follow with the words that you're saying. You can say, I'm on fire for God. Or you can say, I'm going to live for Him. You can say, I'm going to surrender to Him. And the words are there, and maybe they're encouraging words. And by the way, words can be encouraging. But what brings blessings and curses isn't words. It's our actions. And that's what God desires, is that we would obey and not just say the words. That we would allow God to make the changes in us and not just talk about it. So, what about those times when God has blessed you? What about it? Those are great times, aren't they? Do you have memories of the blessings of God? Yeah, amen. Look at verse 29. This is such a neat thought. It shall come to pass when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. So here's what God is telling Israel they need to do. This is such a neat thought. And I think we do this naturally. But the way he says it right here, it's like God is telling Israel that he wants them to make a visual representation of the blessings and a visual representation of the curses. And he wants Israel to take these visual things that are to represent God's blessings and display them in Mount Gerizim. Okay, so this is where the blessings are to be displayed. Well, what about the times that we disobeyed God and we were cursed? Well, God wanted Israel to take those curses and create something that would be visual and display them in Mount Ebal. So now you have two places where if you wanted to remember the blessings, where would you go? Mount Gerizim. Go to Mount Gerizim and you would remember the blessings because you had them on display. That's what God's telling them to do. How about the curses? You want to remember those? Yeah. Well, let's go over here to Mount Ebal because we've got them on display too. Well, why would we put the ones that are blessings on display? To remind us that God is faithful to His promises. To remind us that if we're obedient to God, He's going to bless us. Because remember those times when we obeyed Him? He blessed us? Yeah, I remember. We have it on display. I remember times when I obeyed God and He blessed me. Do you? I remember when God called me to be a pastor. And after a long fight, I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And then from that pivotal, critical time in my life, there was like, different roads you can take in life. We're going to think about, the imagery of this. the road wise off, and you can follow God's or you can go the other way. And it was a time in my life when I didn't really want to be a pastor, but he was speaking to me, and I surrendered and I took God's path. And it was, for me, it was no turning back. So I've been on that path all of these years now in obedience, in just in this one instance, not like I haven't disobeyed God. We'll talk about that in a minute. But this is an instance in my life when I obeyed God, and it set me on a path, for me, no turning back. And look where it has brought me in my life. And the blessing of my children, and the blessing of watching God change people's lives, to the blessing of giving the gospel to somebody and watching God break their heart so that they might be saved. Even some of you that are here this morning, and God has allowed me to have that. This is a Mount Gerizim memory. I've got a lot of Mount Gerizim memories. I remember when I held my first child in my arms. I couldn't do that right now. He could pick me up. I don't think I could pick anyway. I remember when I had him in my hands this way, and I prayed. I said, "Lord, would you help me to be the dad you want me to be?" And from that point, yeah, am I like proud of every single thing that I've ever done as a dad? Probably not. No, like you, we all have those things we wish maybe we could do different with our kids. But by and large, my time with my children, I have no regrets. And I've spent time with them, and I've loved them. And those were decisions that were made early. And these are Mount Gerizim things, you know? Surrender and living for God, and deciding I'm going to read my Bible, and deciding I'm going to be a soul winner, and deciding I want to be a pastor, and deciding I want to live for God, I want to be faithful to the Lord. These are Mount Gerizim memories. Why? Because it brought blessings in my life every time. The obedience. I remember when God spoke to my heart about tithing. I remember, and that was a long time ago, and I remember when God spoke to my heart about giving large lumps of money to certain things, to help with a ministry or missions, or to help, you know, with a ministry at church, or a missionary was coming through and God touched my heart and we gave to the missionary, you know. And these are Mount Gerizim things, because God's blessings always poured back into our life. You know what God wants you to do with those times you obeyed Him and He blessed you? He wants you to remember them. Why do you think He wants you to remember those Mount Gerizim things? Why? So that you'll remember that blessings come from the Lord. So that you'll remember in the future when you have a very important decision that needs to be made and your faith is low, and you know what God wants you to do, but your faith is low and you're not sure about what God is wanting you to do, then you'll remember back to the Mount Gerizim times. You know, God's never failed me once. He's blessed me every time I've obeyed Him. And I can trust that blessings come from the Lord. And if I'll just make a decision, remembering what He's done, knowing that He's going to be faithful in the future to bless obedience. So I'm just going to move forward with that. So memories of blessings and memories of obedience, they need to be in our life. You need to remember those times. And I'm not saying we need to erect things in our house. I don't think that it would be a bad idea for you to have a journal where you write blessings in. Maybe you have a journal that you use that we produce here at the church, and you write blessings in there. Those could be Mount Gerizim things. Write down things that you can recall that God has done, that you know only God could have done this. And God did this because I obeyed Him and I loved Him. And that's a Mount Gerizim memory. We need to have that. Israel needed that. We're going to need that. But we also need the Mount Ebal memories. I call it the blue lemon experiences in my life. What's the blue lemon? It's a car I bought. Okay? And when that thing was on the line and I was thinking about buying it, it was like God touched my heart. Don't buy that car. You know? And I know that we don't do things mystically. I don't like to just wait for the feeling and, oh yeah, I know God wants me to do this. I don't work like that. But it was just like the way that it was going. I just didn't feel settled about it, you know. It just didn't feel right. But I just kept pushing. I'm like, oh no, it looks nice. I think it'll be fine. And I just And it was an auction, so it just kept going up. It was like God was trying to keep me from buying this thing because it just kept getting more expensive. And I was battling with this other guy, and then my pride jumped in. I'm like, well, I'm not going to lose. You know. So then I won. I got this thing. And it overheated before I got home. So I overpaid for a car that needed work on it before I even got the thing to my house. I had to pull over on the side of the road and have it towed on the way home from buying it. I call it the blue lemon. And it was a problem all the way to the... Have you ever turned your car off before you put it in park? Okay. We've all done that. And then you put it in park, pull the key out. Have you ever turned the car off before you put it in park and tried to pull the key out? Don't ever do that. Because I was in drive. I turned it off. I don't know why I did that. I had my foot was on the brake, so it wasn't like I was going, but it was still in drive. I had a lot on my mind. Turned the key off, pulled the key out, came out halfway, and it was stuck. Key was stuck. Wouldn't go in park, and it was just done. It was going to cost $300, and I'd already put... It took me a lot of money just to get the thing home. Then I had to fix the issue that was with it. That took a lot of money. And there was another issue I don't tell you about. I had to get some tires too. And then this happened. I'm like, Lord, I learned my lesson. With your help, this will be a Mount Ebal moment. A time when I remember God told me, God spoke to me, and I disobeyed him. I'll never forget the blue linen. You know what? You should never forget the blue linens in life. When God told you, and you didn't. And it never turns out good, does it? You never have a memory and think, oh, you know, I did whatever I wanted to do on this and I disobeyed God. It went so good. Mm-mm. That never happens. You need to remember that. God says, hey, you know, we have the Mount Gerizims and we need to remember those because God is faithful. Okay, but let's not forget that we also need to remember the Mount Ebal moments. And go ahead and remember the blue lemon times in your life when you should have obeyed God and you didn't. Because it never turns out good. And it'll help motivate us. It'll help us to stay on the path that God wants us to be on. To be what He wants us to be. To do what He wants us to do. To remember that blessings come from God, but He's equally faithful in the curses because... As a father who corrects his children because he loves them, our Heavenly Father will correct us. He'll chastise us. He won't just let us live our life in disobedience without the consequences affecting us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be blessed. He wants to bless us. So let's remember Mount Gerizim moments. Let's remember Mount Ebal moments. And with those... Let them be driving forces in our life to remind us, to motivate us to do what God wants us to do so that we might avoid the curses, amen, and be blessed. So what's the difference between obedience and disobedience? It's your faith, isn't it? It's always going to be your faith in God, that you believe Him. What about the times when it feels like it doesn't God's way doesn't even make sense? Well, that's where your faith has to jump in. Well, nobody in my family thinks that I should do it. Well, what does God think? Do you believe God? Well, nobody at my job thinks I should do it. Okay, but what does God want? Do you believe Him? What if nobody in your whole life, it seems, except the people who love the Lord and want you to do what God wants you to do, right? But it seems like everybody else in your life, they're thinking you're crazy or you shouldn't do this or why are you doing this? But yet you know it's what God wants you to do. Then faith is what causes you to obey, no matter the voices that are out there telling you to do something else. Our faith. And then therefore your faith becomes the difference in Mount Gerizim memories and Mount Ebal memories. It's your faith. You believe the Lord. So let's reflect just for a moment and then we're going to be done. Are y'all excited? Remember your salvation? Remember when He touched you? And you knew, I need to be saved. That's a Mount Gerizim moment, isn't it? Never forget your salvation. Never forget it, that He touched you and you decided to obey Him. If you're lost and you haven't been saved, that's Mount Ebal. And you're going to continually find curses in life until you turn your heart to Christ. My call to preach, but your call to serve? Well, God's never called me. He's trying to. Remember what he said to the disciples whenever he knelt down? I played football with the boys the other day and cracked my knee. That was a long time ago, actually. I think I'm getting old. Can't heal. And he got his towel and the basin, and he began to wash their feet. And then he said to his disciples, "What you've seen me do, you do that." We're all called to serve, all of us. It's like, well, he didn't call me. Yes, he did. In that moment, when he said, "That's what I did, that's what I want you to do," you are called. Remember the day when you said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in the choir. I'm going to be involved with this ministry. I'm going to..." What is he calling you? How is he speaking to your heart? Where's the surrender? Remember when you did it? That's a Mount Gerizim moment. Remember when he was speaking to you and you weren't doing what he's calling you to do? That's Mount Ebal. And you'll find curses when you disobey the Lord. Music. I remember when I listened to the bad music, okay? And I was saved. I remember driving on my way to youth group. I was a teenager, and I'm in my car, and it's just me. And I remember driving to church and listening to this awful music. It was awful. And I remember I could take you to the exact place on the street in Blanchard, Oklahoma, when I was at the stop sign, when the knife of the word just struck. Ooh, the Holy Spirit was like, "This music is awful." And I made a decision. I said, "I'm done with it." Turned it off. That's a Mount Gerizim moment. I'll never forget it. He changed me forever in the moment that my music changed. But the times before that, when it's like I knew I should not be listening to this music, those are Mount Ebal moments. When God's working in you about your music and you won't give it to Him. The difference between blessings and curses. Obedience and disobedience. It's even in music, isn't it? We turn your car on, turn the radio station on up. What's it at? Don't answer that. Let God work in your heart about it. Amen. How about this? To surrender to go where He leads. Now, this is an emotional thing. I'm not going to talk about what God's doing in our family, but it's always true for all of us that we would need to be obedient to the Lord as He leads us. Now, go, it's relative. Sometimes it's go like God's working in our family, but for Brother Chad, it was go to Fall City. For Brother Tim, it's go to Fall City. Remember that? We talked about that. So that means when you're at the gas station and you see somebody, you know them, you know their name, and you say, "Hey, so-and-so, I'm just praying for you today." But don't just say you were praying and you weren't praying. Like, pray for them. Pray for them. And then tell them, "I prayed for you today." That's what it means to go. Remember the time when you decided to talk to somebody and you were trembling and you wanted to invite them to church? You were nervous because you didn't know if they were going to be mean to you or if they were going to accept the invitation? That's a Mount Gerizim moment when you went to somebody and you loved them and you invited them. That's Mount Gerizim. And it's Mount, you know what's Mount Ebal? Is when God told you to talk to Him and you didn't.
Yes, sir. Come on.
God told you need to tell them about church or God or just encourage them with prayer. It doesn't have to be crazy like pressure. Just tell them you pray for them. Who doesn't love that somebody prays for them? "How dare you pray for me?" They're not going to say that, believe me. But you didn't. That's a Mount Ebal moment. So let's let God create in us Mount Gerizim memories so we can look back and say, "You know what? I talked to so-and-so when God, and I was so scared, but I did, and it went so good." You know what that encourages you next time? That God's going to bless the next time. And then you're going to do it again because now you have this long laundry list of times you obeyed the Lord in going and talking to somebody about church or inviting them or praying for them and encouraging. Now it's like You have this strength because of all these Mount Gerizim memories. Let's create that laundry list of blessings of going. I think we obey the Lord, and you'll get to the end of the journey and you won't have a lot of regrets, will you? The less Mount Ebal moments, the better. So, let's finish with this. That Mount Gerizim memories create faith in us. They build our faith, right? So the stronger our faith, the more we'll obey Him. The weaker our faith, the less we'll obey Him. So make some decisions today to trust the Lord. And with that, obey Him. What's He calling you to do? What is He speaking to you about? Trust Him. And let it just be a little, even if it's a little thing. Create a Mount Gerizim moment because you trusted the Lord, even in a little thing. And then He'll bless you and it'll make you stronger for next time. Let's start making Mount Gerizim memories. And let's start deleting some of the Mount Ebal. You might have a lot of Mount Ebal memories right now because you haven't trusted God. Let's start doing away with some of that. Creating memories where we believed God and He blessed. We believed God and He blessed. And the more it grows, the stronger your faith will be in the Lord. Amen? Now, we're way early, and I'm sure there's like nobody who's upset about that. But let's give time to our Sunday school classes. So if you happen to go into the hallway, let's just make sure we're whispering out there, okay? And otherwise, we can just fellowship in here, okay? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this passage that we have been able to study this morning about Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And our desire this morning is that we would have memories of Your blessings because we trusted You and we obeyed You. So I pray that You would build the faith of Your people this morning, that we would move in obedience to You and have memories of that. And then, Lord, also help us to remember the times we didn't believe You and it brought curses, so that we might be motivated to avoid that. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for blessings. And help our faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.